It's that coming up from the bottom. Day one, dollar zero type shit. The only thing I'm ducking is the graveyard. I'm really with the shit y'all niggas play hard. I made it to a Ross, I'm selling eight balls. I came up from nothing, I can never take a day, y'all. The only thing I'm ducking is the graveyard. I'm really with the shit y'all niggas play hard. I made it to a Ross, I'm selling eight balls. I came up from nothing, I can never take a day, y'all. Turn your baby mama crib into a stash spot. And we moving more aggressive than.
What's up, bro?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm awesome. It's Friday.
Mic was a little hot there. Holy crap.
You're hot.
Oh, thank you. You're hot.
I'm getting there. I'm losing weight, man. I have to hide myself behind jackets that look super baggy now that I could barely fit into a year ago.
Yeah, it's working, man.
It's getting there.
Yeah, it's working.
It's all for you.
Been on the meal prep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that today, too, man. We're going to get into it. So for those of you that listen to us on a regular, we appreciate you. If you're new, please subscribe. Mm-hmm. Take a listen. And we love feedback, love reviews, and...
And if you don't know, we do record all of this. So this is on like video. So we put it on
YouTube. Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's on iTunes, yeah, Spotify, yeah. Google Play. We get a ton of downloads with like iTunes and Spotify. We've got maybe 1,000 subscribers almost on YouTube. We haven't really pushed that channel, but yeah, I think this year we're going to start, you know, doing some snippets and pushing that channel. But we've never even promoted the YouTube channel as far as that. We have a real estate one that does phenomenally well, but we've never pushed our Day $1.00 one.
Yep. No, a lot of people probably don't know that we run a video on this. It's kind of funny because we go through a lot of effort to make sure we have
pretty bitches.
Good video that we run. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. Oh, podcasts are recorded too.
What's up, man?
Yeah. I like watching podcasts. So I always like...
Dude, that's the whole reason I subscribed to YouTube was because I can like watch it. But then if I want to turn the screen off, it'll still play when you're a member. If you don't pay for the app to have whatever specialty that is.
I know, you're rich, man.
I am rich. I'm kidding.
My YouTube shuts up.
I'm not kidding.
When I close, click that button, it's like, all right, later.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about rich. Yeah. So the other day was my 4-year anniversary in real estate, right? And celebrated that. And like Eli and I have been together for just about all of it. Eli's about a year ahead of me in real estate, correct? Mm-hmm. Maybe two?
Yeah, about, yeah, I think year it was and like half. Maybe a year and a half. Yeah. Cool.
And, but right about my 3-month mark was when I just started figuring some things out. I'm like, man, I had taken some skill sets, military and police and all that, but it's also from just learning some things when I was helping run a fitness company and doing some stuff there. And we did a lot of events and video. And I started like, I was cranking some deals. I think I did 5 deals my first 2 months. I came out of the gate screaming. And, but beyond that, I was seeing where there was like a shift, but not many people were doing it. And I was big on content and, you know, you were doing some content. I was like, cool, man. Like this seems like just a good dude that's come from the same fitness community that I do, and he's got a good temperament. Like, man, I think I can do this better. And you and I met before I even got licensed, and I picked your brain.
Yep.
And I just, you know, I remembered you from, like, the fitness community, and you're like, yeah, man, get licensed, and here's kind of how it goes. And then I came back to you a couple months later, and I was like, hey, dude, I'm 5 or 6 deals in. I've been in for, like, 2 or 3 months, and you're like, what?
Holy shit.
What the fuck did you say?
Never get those calls back.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, but, man, you know, beyond that, like, hey, I just think there's just a better way to do this, and... And you're like, yeah, I've been kind of thinking the same thing. And I'm like, yeah, I think you have because I've been watching your videos. And I'd love to just be around someone that's got the same ideology. And you had just decided to build a team. And I saw your post. That's when I thought it was okay to come talk to you. And then for those of you that don't think Will's humble, you're fucking wrong. You just hear me talk because the only place you guys see me is on my real estate YouTube channel or on this where, like, this is my lane where I talk. So you probably think all I do is talk. Not true. So when I came to you, it wasn't, hey, let's collaborate. Let's run some shit. Let me show you something. It was like, hey, man, I like what you're doing. I feel like there's a better way to do it. I think you're kind of going around, like, you know, going down the same direction. And, hey, man, I'd love to be a part, you know, to have a spot on your team.
Yep.
It wasn't to be a co-owner. Wasn't to be your videographer. It wasn't to, like, no bullshit. It was like, hey, man, I just want a spot.
Yep.
You're building a team. I'd like to just be on your team. And then from there, I just kept cranking. We kept doing things. And then, it was you, not me. It was you that came and you're like, hey, man, I don't know what the fuck you're doing, but, man, it's really good, and I think you're on some great shit, and I think you're better suited if we do this together. You know, what do you think about just fucking partnering up?
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, no, man, I super appreciate that, and, like, I agree. And, like, it fell into place. We ended up just doing some client things together and because we were doing some video stuff together. And, like, it just kind of, like, fell into place, bro. It wasn't – there was no agenda. There was nothing that was forced. It fell into place, and, man, it – you know, worked,
yeah.
You know, and I remember that's when I bought you the laptop. Half and half, half I'm a good dude, half I was embarrassed by you carrying around this Flintstone rock. I think the serial number on your iPad or on your computer was like number three.
Three, yeah.
It was like the third laptop Apple ever made.
I had like a 2008.
It was heavy. It was not a 2008. It was like a 1994.
Pretty positive it was 2008.
It was fucking heavy.
It was old as shit for MacBook world.
But it was also like to show appreciation of like, hey man, I want to remember this moment on the day we're deciding to do business together. And I know your business isn't like huge yet. And we're going to do it together, but I know it also means a lot that you're willing to give me half of it. Mm-hmm. And man, like that's important that I recognize that. And it's important that, you know, I recognize that. And we just needed another computer to crank. And
yeah, no, it was very much needed, bro. But one of those things
needed,
but
cool.
You know? Yeah. And I just don't do those things for myself. I'm better about it now, but, definitely back then was not,
yeah. No, but it was cool, right? So there is like that humble side, and you know, maybe we could talk more about that over time. I try to give just a value out on how to go do things, but it's not in the context of like because I know it all. It's just in the lane that I do feel I know, so I speak to it. But there is a lot of humble and learning and quiet time and listening and paying attention that, you know, I have in my world.
Well, and a big thing too, like about a partnership, man. I was just talking to somebody about it today, and you know, we'll get comments about this a lot, how people are like, oh man, I just really jealous of like what you and Will have. And, you know, man, if I could just have, like, you guys always have this like best friend there that you're working with and everything's, it's just, you know, and it's just amazing, you know, and people, and it is like all those things true, you know, but man, if people really understood how much time and effort went into this relationship and the continued time and effort, you know,
just to evolve. Just the amount of times you slammed doors and I've had to apologize, you know, and
I
like,
know, I know, yeah.
Or maybe it's the other way around. Or
you like closet abusive.
No, but there's a lot of, there's a lot of work that goes into like just communicating and just, you know, hey, when you're wrong and just apologizing. And then the biggest thing is getting beyond right or wrong and getting to a point where it's understanding.
Yep,
it's,
yep.
Hey, whether I'm wrong, cool, I'm going to own it. But I just need you to understand where I'm coming from. That way perspective and context on me is there so you understand me better. And then, hey, vice versa. And it's never about scoring a point or who's been wrong more often. It's just the communication and the love. And like, dude, we have a common bond of ambition. We have the same vision for where we want our company to go. And we have the same work ethic as far as where our company is going. And I think more times than not, man, it's that you'll have ambition for something, but the other person doesn't. And it's different, right?
Your work ethic doesn't align and bad.
Like when I was at a fitness company, you know, I've kind of spoken to him about a little bit, but I think we were growing too fast. We didn't have as many systems as we should. And deep down, I don't think he wanted it that big, but it was cool to hear me talk about that. But like our vision, as far as where we saw that company going was different. And you'd be surprised how off you are from your partner if you don't discuss those things. But you and I have the same vision. We talk about it a lot. We goal set, we whiteboard. Our work ethic marries up, and so does the ambition, you know, to do born. Even if you have different roles and responsibilities within the company, you still have to have the same amount of work ethic, commitment, and ambition for more. Because if somebody's just a clerical person that's like, just lets you run around and do your thing, but they're like, oh, yeah, cool, but I'm just this, I'm, you know, and they're not really assisting, because no matter how back-end heavy you are, it helps grow the company. Right. So you can't have someone that's like, oh, yeah, I'm this ambitious one. And my business partner, no, he just loves gathering data and putting it on. Like, he's also got to be ambitious for more, even though he's controlling his lane. Right. Like just because you're not the quarterback on the football team doesn't mean that you don't have to be just as tenacious, ambitious, committed and visionary, you know, visionary as the quarterback.
Yeah, in your lane.
You have to.
Yeah. In your lane. Yeah. And I think with you and I, too, another thing, like I felt big pivotal point for us was when we both like just made it explicitly clear with each other that like, hey, we're not trying to go anywhere. Like no matter what argument or whatever, or disagreement, not that we argue or disagree a lot.
No,
but
we didn't really agree on that. That's credit to you. You told me during
when it came up, we did.
And no, like, we agreed, but this is where it's just credit to you because I didn't really see it for what it was. I didn't realize how much I was saying something, but like we'd have some arguments every once in a while. I'm like, well, dude, why am I even here? Why don't you run the team and I'll run this? We'll do our deals together. And then you can just have that. Like I can get the fuck out of the way. Why am I even here? And you know, and like, there's just more weight to those words than I was giving. And it was just my fear of just relationships. And you've had a bad business partner. It go bad before. I've had some friction there before as well. And I think like, that was just my fear coming. I was just an internal feeling was being externally expressed, right? Yeah. And that's when you identified it and you go, hey, man, like, I feel you. But we every time we argue, it can't be, are we breaking up or not? Like, it can't be that. Like, it's got to be like, hey, man, no, but it was good. And, like, I'm just trying to make a point to that was your credit. Because deep down inside, I wasn't trying to break up with you. But my words, the way I was speaking so loosely during an argument, no, it was that. And you made it clear that, man, I don't want to fear that. And I was like, oh, man, like, just as much as I had fears for some things, me expressing my fear was actually putting fear into you because I kept talking like that.
Well, and it was more just like letting you know, like not honestly, not even so much like your words or anything. Like those words could have not even been expressed, but just like, so you know, like, hey, I'm married, bro. Like I'm not trying to go anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, so like, you know, and I think like once you can address that with your partner or whatever.
Yeah. And just full disclosure, it wasn't like you were hanging out with some other guy in business and I was scared. It wasn't, hey, I'm not going anywhere because some other guy in business was. It was more so like we'd butt heads or there'd be a miscommunication on something with leadership with our team. And it would be like, hey, are we fucking good? Like, are you fucking working together? So we just put the fuck up. And like, again, it was more me being facetious during conversation where it was inappropriate. And then you highlighted that. And I was like, man, yeah, I don't really mean that. Well, I've got to watch that. But it was good because, again, like, I don't want my fear to then just give you fear. Now it's just fire with fire versus let me just express my fear or discomforts appropriately, allow you to comment back to them, and then we build each other up. You know what I mean?
Well, and I
not
think that's,
action, reaction.
I think that's just one of those good things in, like, any relationship. Like, I think that's a big factor of, like, you know, marriage. Like, you don't have a marriage in business, you know? So it's, like, it's one of those things of just saying, like, even if it did need to be said, even if we were still like hunky dory all the time, never getting arguments, I would still like to say like, hey bro, like we're married, you know, like just so you know, like
and
we're
not,
married, man.
And
I love
not
doing
a fucking,
this with you.
And it's not an S corp or an LLC that makes you just like a marriage license.
Yep.
A marriage license does not make you married.
100%.
Right.
Yep.
You can think so, but then why do people get divorced? Right. Like there's fundamentals about a relationship that are going to make it work regardless of whether you choose to celebrate through marriage or not. Right. Yep. Like same thing in business, just because you and I put our name on an S corp or an LLC, like, it doesn't mean shit if we're not fundamentally sound with the relationship, right?
It's so true.
So that was, like, our first, we were growing the team at that point, you know, and, like, no, it was cool. And then now reflecting back, like, 4 years later, you know, second phase of our own show. You know, our YouTube channel did, I think, just above 2 million in commissions this year.
Right at,
so awesome. Personal spheres, like, good, and personally, you know, the reason why I mention numbers, just so everyone knows, like, we're in sales. We're brokers. So if I mention a number like that or, like, you guys start to get a grasp on, like, the money that we're making, it's not to impress. Let me steal this from Ben Newman. It's not to impress you. It's to impress upon a point of something, as in success. So when you're in sales like we are, like it or not, transactions, volume, income, like, these things matter because they are pillars of success. They do express achievement.
Yep.
Okay. So like if you're building a race car, but you won't tell anybody how fast it goes because you don't want to brag, how many, right? It's like, well, how do you know? But if you're showing how fast a race car goes and how stable it is and how quickly it can turn corners and how many G's it can hold. Yeah. You could think it as braggadocious. And I guess the delivery of that information is what's going to make people feel a certain way. But at the end of the day, like those things matter. Right. And I think no matter what, as we build our team and our network, as we've grown, dude, enough people don't speak about that because unfortunately, like in our industry, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors. There's a lot of people coaching and team leading or influencing or whatever. And they're doing that because they weren't good at the craft. So now they adopt this. Let me go read a bunch of coaching books and let me be a coach now.
Right.
Right. So like I say these things because yes, we are in the coaching world as far as building our real estate team and our real estate network. But yes, I do need to express some of our achievements because if I'm teaching you how to build your own YouTube channel or how to do a certain amount of deals, like if I haven't been established there, then everything I'm speaking to you is hypothetical, not contextual.
Right.
And that's a problem.
Right.
That's called lying. Or embellishing or whatever word you want to put on it. I just don't think it's honest, man. I think if you haven't, you know, haven't been at it at a certain level, how the hell, you know, can you teach it? And I also express a number because it's like, hey, as much attention as we get from our YouTube channel on that and clients that start coming in, if you're not great at the craft, none of those deals close and you can't say you make that much because it didn't close. So it's more so how much we've grown as people as far as composure,
yep,
capability to just do things a lot more efficient, to be able to put more things there. And then the composure part comes in because when you've got more moving parts, you've got to be able to manage that stress load, mm-hmm, which means not only do you have to be more efficient in every lane, you've got to be more organized in every lane, and you just got to be able to like keep your shit together and handle it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of self-growth. Yeah, there's a lot of self-growth that goes into a business or a financial growth.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yeah, man, it was, I feel like the first like 2 years of us working together was, we were together almost the first 3 years, like almost all day, every day. Mm-hmm. Like when you're looking at it, it did not make sense, you know, why we did the things that we did together. However, him and I both knew very intuitively that it was not, 1 + 2 = 2 thing. It was a 1 + 1 = 4, 1 + 1 = 10. And I think, man, like there were so many, parts of you that I just had to be around in order for them to bleed off onto me.
Same.
Like there were parts where it's like, man, I had to learn the things you were saying on these conversations and the way you interacted with people. And if we were just so much in our lane that, mm-hmm, yeah, Eli's just back at the office and Will's out doing his thing, man, we're not very well-rounded.
Yeah, well, even back in the day, man, like you weren't back in the office and I was out doing my thing. Like you and I were both handling clients at the same time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And people think like, well, no, why wouldn't you divide and conquer?
Yeah, we got that question a lot.
You know, like that's just first and foremost, right? Like depending on the context of how you're saying divide and conquer, you could be 100% right or you could be 100% wrong. Mm-hmm. And most people that have ever said that to me are full of shit.
Yeah. Right? They're saying what they think they should say.
They're
just
full of shit.
Yeah.
You know, but like when we were doing deals together, the atmospherics it brought to someone's dining room table and we're sitting there talking about selling their home, mm-hmm, we're charging the same as much as anyone else, but you're getting two people. Mm-hmm. And here's what Eli's focused on. Here's his subject matter expertise and what he's focused, mm-hmm, on. And here's what I'm focused on. And it made them feel like there was a team around them,
yep,
versus just some individual talking some shit at a table. There was a game plan. There was a team. And, you know, you have a husband and a wife and you got you and I, like it felt like a huddle so much to the point that people mentioned that this is, mm-hmm, not me speaking hypotheticals to pat myself on the back. These are things clients would mention. Mm-hmm. And after they would mention those things, that's when you and I figured out we're never going to lose a deal if, you know, to the best of our ability, if we're doing this together versus like, if you and I go separate, yeah, we might be able to go see more potential clients, but are we getting all of them? Mm-hmm. Versus when we're together and we bring this loud of a punch and this feeling of a huddle and teamwork, I can't remember a client. I think we had one not go with us. They had a family member that was an agent, and we hadn't even sat down with them yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm reaching. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then one client we fired.
Yep.
Because he was just in the gray area with what he wanted to do with like this, yep, weird person who knocked on his door, but then he rehired us because now he wants to sell, yep, traditionally.
Yep, yep.
But I can't remember ever I think there was one or two out of hundreds where someone chose not to go with us.
Well, like the client success was one thing, but then just like.
But what I'm getting at is like, I'm trying to articulate the whole 1 + 1 is not, yeah, 2. 1 + 1 = 5, as in it, per math, are Will and Eli seeing less potential clients because we're doing everything together versus Eli goes his way, I go my way. Yep. Oh man, you guys could go see more clients, which means more money, more deals. Not necessarily. Yep. Because now you're evening the playing field where it's you one-on-one with clients. And that's what everyone else is doing. But when Eli and I would show up together, it was 100% close rate.
Yeah, way more impact.
So even if we can only see 75 clients instead, mm-hmm, of 115, mm-hmm, but we kept 75 versus 35 or 65,
right,
seeing it separately.
Right, right.
Our retention, you know, was a lot better. It also allowed you to see what I was all about and where, mm-hmm, I was great. It let me see where you were great. And there are just times where you and I have to split up. There, mm-hmm, are just times where now that we're running our team, people will call me. But because I know what you do and how well you do it, mm-hmm, and I've got perspective on that, I know when someone's hitting me up and it's an Eli question.
Yep. Yep.
Or if I can go ahead and handle it while they're on the phone with me.
Yep.
Because I know what you do so well.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So vice versa. Yeah.
Dude, you just, you know, like you have to.
Yeah, but man, it's definitely been a long fucking journey, and anyone thinking that, you know, they can just meet that partner, or even worse, like forcefully meet that person, because honestly, if it weren't you, bro, like it wouldn't be anyone else, you know, yeah, like I can't think of another person on the planet that I would choose to be in business with.
Me either. And man, like, I piss people off. I make people mad sometimes, right? Sometimes. Like I've made you know, like Marine buddy's mad, old business partner mad. Like, not because like I'm coming from a bad place, but like they mm-hmm. challenge me and it's inappropriate or vice versa or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I've never been in a space with someone where like I've made them upset or I've challenged them in a way, whatever, but they were just still there. Mm-hmm. You're the first guy I've met that could forgive and it's still the same. We're still moving forward.
Yep.
And I'm the same way. Mm-hmm. I've just never met a guy like
you are.
Even close friends, man, I've pissed off. They've owned their part, I've owned my part, but it's different now. Mm-hmm. And they can say it's not, but it is.
Yeah. But you feel it.
You feel it. I barely see you anymore. Like, it's just different. And I'm not saying that, hey, cool, maybe that's for the better. Maybe it should have been different, right? Mm-hmm. Cool. Because it just, you know, but I'm like, out of all the male relationships I have in my life, like, no, man, there's one where it's like, hey, if I say we're good, mm-hmm. it also still feels like we're good.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm that. If I ever say I'm good, I won't change it.
You are that person. Yeah.
You know, so like, I think that's the rare part. And, you know, but like getting into some of the goals that we had, mm-hmm. and I was talking to some of the guys from our team about it, and they've got some fitness goals and they got some deals. I want to do this many deals, mm-hmm. you know, like in it. The one thing I want to speak to today, and then we'll get out of here. We won't keep people too long. Is it's interesting where people like goal set and what they pay attention to, right? Like when people say, I want to do 200 deals a year. I want to do 100 million in volume. And like, man, those things sound fucking cool, right? Mm-hmm. And I tell people, like, hey, Elon and I have never had a unit goal. Mm-mm. And we used to get our old employing broker, right,
at Berkshire. Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, hey, so how you guys doing? So how many, oh, man, you guys are crushed. So how many deals are you going to do this year? Yep. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. What do you mean? What do you mean? What's your goal?
You'd fuck with them.
I don't know. I don't have a number goal.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do you mean? Like, it's going to fall where it falls. What do you mean? Like, because let me spell it out for you. I can't trick my fucking brain.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm going to do 500 deals because even if I don't do 500, maybe I'll still do 350. None of that's real. Mm-hmm. Our goals were action-based. Mm-hmm. Our goals were focusing and relying on the fundamentals. And if we were doing everything right, consistently, to the best of our ability, and making proper adjustments along the way, the number's going to fall where it falls. So if that means we did 200 deals in a year, and we did everything right to the best of our ability for what we knew at that moment, that was the best we could have done. And then cool. But I don't have a number goal. I have a work ethic capacity mm-hmm. goal. I have a proficiency goal, capacity goal, consistency goal. It's that, you know, it's like, I'm talking to the guy and he wants to like lose some weight or, you know, and it's like, hey man, it's not I want to lose 25 pounds. It's what does your morning look like? Getting up at a certain time, washing your face with cold water, getting up, right? Drinking pre-workout and getting mm-hmm. out the door to the gym before you even have a time to make a decision of whether you want to or fucking not. Mm-hmm. And showing up, right? I'm just more rooted in that mm-hmm. because I know, like, look, that 25 pounds, it's already gone. It just hasn't happened yet.
Yep.
If I'm fundamentally sound and I'm executing what I need to day in and day out, It's already done. It just hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm big on there. So like, Will, how many deals are you going to do? I don't fucking know. But I know what I'm doing every day. That's and I know that as we get better, we will be better at making decisions, which means we will get more proficient, right? We will do just more of everything better. And then wherever that number falls, like, cool.
And that helps when you have like standards every day, like you mentioned.
And it reminds me like when people make their, like when you talk to like super rich people, like they talk about when they made their first million.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh yeah, I didn't even know I was. Like, oh fuck, I just like look back and I go, oh shit.
Yep.
I'm a millionaire. Like, fuck, I made 1.5 this year.
Yep. Your head's down.
You know, or last year, like, oh fuck. Like
we did all right.
But it wasn't the goal. Like they were super action based mm-hmm. with their focus and their goals. So like, I just think people miss, you know, or like, you know, I'm listening to some of these podcasts, you know, like on neuroscience and how the brain works and certain things. And like just removing friction from a goal, as in if I have a goal to lose weight, just removing junk food from the house because it's eliminating you to have so much willpower just to accomplish this goal. Like if you've got cookies and all these things in your house, because, I'm only going to eat those on Saturday for my cheat day.
Yep.
But they're in the house all week, right?
Yep.
You're having to use an extraordinary amount of willpower to not eat that stuff and go get your protein shake. and it's an option. And every night you're like having to like overcome that and use that willpower versus if you're going to have a cheat meal or a cheat day. Okay, cool. Saturday after the gym, you go buy whatever you're going to eat. Mm-hmm. And then whenever you're done eating it, that's it. It's not in the house. And then if you bought too much and you're full and you're just not going to be able to eat all of that for your junk day or your junk meal, then it also goes in the fucking trash.
Yep.
But it's out of your house after Saturday. Mm-hmm. Versus like, oh, man, I didn't eat. Man, I didn't even eat all my junk stuff. Like, I'll keep it in the freezer and I'll eat that ice cream next week. Bullshit.
Yeah.
It's fucking talking to you. Every night you're having cravings and it's like, hey, if you actually have to get up and put your shoes on and get in the car and go to the store to buy the ice cream, you've got that buffer of space there to
create friction.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you've created good friction.
Exactly. Good friction.
Right. Yep. Like you created a path of like, you will change your, you will mm-hmm. not do it. You'll grab your shake. Or even like for me, dude, even down to like, cause I have kids. I can't eliminate my house from junk food. But there's like some ready to drink protein shake that I super like, right?
Yep.
And like at night, like, you know, I'm done eating before 8 o'clock. So like 7:45, I'm going to get my last bit of like macros in. That's also when I get cravings. And if I have to grab a shaker bottle, clean it out, pour water in it, put the protein powder in it, shake it up, drink it, wash it out. That sounds minute. But dude, it's like versus like just grab a bag of chips.
Dude, I get it.
You grab the bag of chips. But now it's like, no. I got ready to drinks in the fridge. They're an amazing flavor.
Yep.
You open it, you drink it,
yep.
You throw it away.
Good to go.
And it works.
And they do taste better. The ready to drinks do taste better than just mixing it up.
And if you get the right ones, they're not just concentrating. Right, back in the day, the ready to drinks were just full of concentrate.
Yeah.
You know, but they're super clean now. And, you know, so I like the lean bodies are good. The red cons are good. So cool. So like that sounds simple. That sounds like minute or whatever, but like, hey, listen, it works for me because I put those in my fridge now. And I drink those. I don't eat my son's fucking gummy bears. Okay. Yeah, like, I'm so much more focused there because it's like, hey, if I can implement these control measures, if my actions are on point, dude, I'm not even looking at the fucking scale every day. I know what's going to happen. It's already happened. Like, so I'm focused there. The result's going to, it's a domino effect. It's the same thing with shooting. When I talk to people, I'm not talking to you about hitting black. Mm-hmm. Okay. If your sight alignment, sight picture is good, and if your positioning is good, and if your composure and your ability to manipulate a trigger is good, and if your breathing is adequate and good, and if you're applying these fundamentals, the bullet has already hit black.
Right.
On that.
Right.
And by the way, if you don't, you know, black is like the center of a target, right? Mm-hmm. Or like if you're hitting steel, usually steel's black, or sometimes it's white, whatever. On a target, a bullseye is black. So when I say, are you hitting black? It's bullseye. Mm-hmm. But if I got to talk to you about hitting black, if I'm teaching you how to shoot, Eli, and I'm like, all right, cool, man. So like, see down range, see the black, like point this at the black.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, dude, because what most people don't understand.
So much shit.
When you're like, 100 yards, 300 yards, 500 yards, 1,000 yards, when you're there and you're shooting at targets, the target's not in focus. Mm-hmm. Even when you're close, the target should not be in focus. What's in focus is, if you're using iron sights, that front sight tip of your rifle is in focus. The target behind it is out of focus. If you're focused on the target, not the front sight tip, the problem is your sight alignment, sight picture could be off, as in like you could be cattywampus behind your weapon.
Right, right.
So even though you're looking down the sights, it could be off. Does that make sense? Like you're not centered, right? So like the only way you can see if that's appropriate is if you're focused on the front sight tip. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be focused on the target. Mm-hmm. When you bring that weapon up and your center mass on that target, because like, you're looking at the target, and as you bring it up in your center mass, that's where you focus that front sight tip.
And it's gonna
get from there on out, your sight alignment, sight picture, your posture, your trigger control, your breathing, it's all of that. Mm-hmm. Ballistically, that bullet's going to take care of itself. Mm-hmm. But if I keep talking to you about the target, not about the fundamentals, it's backwards. And I think that people are backwards with their goals, as in they're so focused on losing 25 pounds that that's all they can think about, versus like, hey, what creates that? And then how can you replicate it day in and day out? And then stay focused and have a goal to wake up at 6 a.m. every day. Have a goal to be at the gym before 7:30. Have a goal to have no junk food in your house. And right, like have a goal to not DoorDash. Have a goal, like those things, right? Have a goal there.
Yeah.
And so it's not like you can't have a big goal of like losing 25 or 40 pounds, like you can, but it's these other incremental goals that are actually going to get it done.
It is. And man, that was something like from my like personal training days, a conversation I would have with clients. It's like, hey, you don't necessarily control your physiology. You don't necessarily control whether your body decides to lose 1 pound this week or 5 pounds this week. You know, you don't have control over that. Your body will just do what it's going to do. You might be sick and that could impact some things. A lot of variables. Right. Controlling control, and at the end, the outcome is going to be the outcome.
And if you're controlling what you can, like your diet and what you're putting in your body, then you can assess, I lost 5 pounds here, but then when I was eating this, I didn't. Mm-hmm. Man, maybe I've got a gluten issue.
Got data.
You got data on you, right? Yeah. So like, those things are important. So like in business, it was like, we didn't have a goal to have a YouTube channel early on. Mm-hmm. It was, let's do one video a week on Facebook every single week, no matter what. So every Friday, you and I did a video together. And dude, it started taking off and we got clients from that and we got a lot of traction from that. We got better at being on camera from that.
Gave us reps
on camera, did a video once, and sometimes we would do more videos than just one. Mm-hmm. But no matter what, it was a video every Friday, once a week for an entire year without fault.
Yep.
And it grew, you know, being comfortable on camera. Mm-hmm. It grew a better perspective on what we should be talking about. We saw the comments, we saw the questions coming through, and it built our own little database. And then it started growing from there and we started doing different platforms. And then COVID hits and we, hey, let's jump over here. We got some advice for some from some buddies of ours to like, hey, you guys should be on YouTube. We can kind of show you, you know, we can show you guys, not kind of, we can show you guys how we do it.
Yep.
Give you the framework. We took the framework and put that shit on steroids. Mm-hmm. But a lot of our candor, a lot of our flow ability, a lot of our ability to not have to script everything, but still be on track and to a point on our YouTube channel that everyone enjoys in the real estate world. Like, man, I want to be like this. It's like, well, fuck, man. Like, you know, that's like going to like Ronnie Coleman or Rich Froning wanting to do a WOD like them. It's like, well, you got to credit where they first started and how many reps they've put in.
Yep.
You're not going to be that overnight. And guess what? It doesn't even necessarily have to start with YouTube. Like we started here and it was a goal of we're doing a video once a week, every single week, no matter what. That also helped us practice consistency, organization. Correct?
Yep.
Preparing material.
Yep.
So now that we're doing three videos a week on YouTube, which is a lot bigger production than just a Facebook Live, well, we're prepared for that because we've increased our capacity for more because of the reps that we've done from social media prior, right? And like, but those, our goal was not to have a YouTube channel. Our goal was not to make $2 million this year in commissions. Like, that wasn't our goal. Our goal was a video once a week, every week, no matter what. And then we bettered the video. We bettered the topics we'd speak to.
Always.
We bettered our fluidity. Always. We bettered our human. We were comfortable. So when the opportunity presented itself to do more, we were prepared for more.
And that's a classic, like, this is one of my favorite, like, cliche success quotes, but man, it's freaking true, is that, like, luck is where preparation meets opportunity, you 100%. Know? And there was an opportunity that popped up with COVID happening, and there was an opportunity that popped up with having the guys on our podcast that dropped the YouTube idea, you know, and it was like, man, those two little things mixed with the preparation of you and I having done what we had done.
But we understood what they were, like, we could understand what they were speaking to when they were explaining YouTube, because we had been in that world and doing those things. And I'll leave with everyone with this, because you know what else is popping up? Clients and shit we got to do.
Fucking phone will not stop vibrating over here.
That's just part of it. I got voicemails and stuff coming through. We got clients. It's a busy Friday. But I'm going to leave you with this. Who wrote the book Atomic Habits? Was it
James Clear? Yeah, I was saying that's one of my favorites, man.
I think this is one of his quotes. Narrow the focus, up the quality, increase the speed. So
say it again.
Damn it, Eli.
Not for me, for our listeners.
Yeah.
For me.
Okay. Narrow the focus.
Okay.
Up the quality, increase the speed. Okay, so like, let me explain this to you guys just from our perspective with us. We're brokers. Okay, we're brokers. I'm not leading men's groups. I'm not a car salesman. I'm not a multi-level marketer. I'm not a side hustle. I got making shoes, okay? We're in real estate. If it's not our YouTube channel and attending to clients that are trusting us with their business, and if it's not another realtor that's teaming up with us so we can help them build their brand and their business and do what we're doing, if it's not one of those, we're not doing it.
100%.
Narrow the focus. It's that. It's like, man, where could I invest my money? And now I want to go sell Bitcoin. And, oh, dude, you guys know you guys could also sell. You guys could get a license for insurance. And guess what? When you're doing real estate, hey, people need homeowners insurance, right? So like, you guys could also do the fuck you.
Yeah.
Okay, nope. I'm not. And you know why? Because I'm not the subject matter expert on insurance. And you know what? Just because my clients trust me doesn't mean I'm going to like abuse that and then throw something to make an extra buck. And the time that I'm putting in to learn that is taking away tripling down on my real estate, which means everything slows down.
Yep.
All good. I will not make more money doing the insurance along with everything else. I will make more money. I will be more successful. I will be more trusted, more proficient, more efficient, and have a bigger capacity.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm racing this car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I got a guy that's going to change the tire. Okay. Like, even though payroll would be less, if the race car driver would hop out of the car, fuel the car, change the tires, hop back in, and speed off. You're right. Payroll would be less.
Yep.
But that car will never win, which means you won't even have a fucking team.
It's a good analogy.
You won't even have a fucking car.
Yep.
That's not how this works, right? So narrow the focus, up the quality, increase the speed. Like, get super, uber focused on what your subject matter expertise is and like have pride in being that and be that. And if you're in sales, but it's like, oh man, like sales, I don't want to be salesy. What's that? If you're great at what you do and you trust your ability for clients, you should be proud to speak up for yourself, knowing that these clients are going to appreciate the amount of work and integrity you put behind your work.
And if you're good at it, it shouldn't be salesy.
And let me tell you something about sales and commissions. Guess what? I don't feed my family if I don't get these deals done. You don't want me to be an hourly wage client. You don't want me making a flat rate working alone or a flat rate writing a home contract, because now I just don't care. And the type of person that wants a salary doing those jobs, it's because they're not proficient at it and they don't care that much. Guys that are out here that are commission-based, that's how they feed their ambition.
Yeah.
That's how they feed their family. Yeah. And if they don't do a good job and you complain on them, they won't get more business. Mm-hmm. Social media and the internet platform is powerful. If they're doing a bad job and not treating people appropriately, people find out.
Yep.
So no, commission based and being in that world, there's a lot of integrity and a lot of hard work and a lot of pride that goes behind it if you're around the right people.
But
the advice to leave everybody with today is like, hey, whatever it is that you're doing, right? Like, you've got to narrow the focus, up the quality, increase the speed of that. And like, I love that quote because at least for us and what we're doing right now, man, it speaks to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But take pride in what you do, own what you do, you know, and be that, own it, crush it.
Thank you for listening, guys.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Yeah. Day $1, $0.